Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Sports Radio. As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we'll start with
the National Football League.
In at number five. Team's been out of the top five ever since their loss in week one. But they've bounced back with blowout victories up against the Raiders and the Commanders. I know, not great victories, but you give a tip of the cap to the Buffalo Bills, who have an enormous matchup this weekend up against the Miami Dolphins in Orchard Park. Bills in at five. And the biggest thing with the Buffalo Bills, it's almost as if they listen to this show. And we've had a bunch of Bills on. But they finally said, we're going to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And when we run the ball, we're not going to have Josh be Superman. The last 2 weeks, only six carries for Josh Allen. That's enormous. Now, the question becomes, if you get in a tight game against the Miami Dolphins, are you going to revert back to your old ways and then it costs you? Or are you going to be loyal to the game plan? I'm not saying run the ball 30 times a game with James Cook. But you need to be smart here because you got to remember, it's not a sprint, the NFL season. It's a marathon. And you need to make sure that your quarterback is healthy and making the proper decisions throughout the year. Bills in at five. Four, Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? I know they lost week one. Now, not to be a Mike Tirico, but they didn't have Chris Jones and they didn't have Travis Kelce. Then they go to Jacksonville, and their defense was dominant, holding the Jaguars to only 9 points, but their offense wasn't where the Chiefs' offense should be. And then up against the Bears, they scored 41 points. Now, I know you could just say, oh, it's the Bears, settle down, it's not the end of the world. Totally get that. But if the Chiefs through the first 3 weeks, their offense has been the thing that hasn't clicked yet, it's inevitable that it will click. And that defense only allowed 20 points to the Lions, or 21 points to the Lions, but Mahomes did throw a pick six, so it's not even all 21 going to the defense. And then Jacksonville, they only allowed 9, and to the Bears, they've only allowed 9. That defense has been a big story, and eventually the offense will catch up. In at number three, you want to talk about points. This team scored 70 of them. 70 up against the pathetic, lousy, disgraceful, putrid, anemic Denver Broncos. Mike McDaniel's looking like the coach of the year so far through the first three games of the NFL season. Tua Tagovailoa did that, by the way, on Sunday without Jalen Waddle. Tyreek Hill's still a stud. Raheem Mostert's still a stud. And then you have Devon. How do you say his last name? I thought it was Achane, but then in the pronunciation guide now they're saying it's pronounced a different way.
Achane, I believe. I've only seen it spelled, not heard out loud. So hopefully on Sunday, I guess we'll find out. But at least the way it reads, A-C-H-A-N, I'm going to go with Achane.
You know people are going to call him Devin when it's Devon, and then it's going to be Achane, Achane, Achane. Like, it's going to be all over the place here. But that guy's good at football. That's what I could tell you. Oh, you know what I didn't check? I know nobody cares about my fantasy team, but I did not check on my waiver wires this morning if I got him. I put in a big claim for him. Let's see if I got him here. Oh no, I got him. My team name is Honey Bijan for Bijan Robinson, like Honey Dijon. So I ended up putting a $25 waiver claim in. Get $100 for the season to give waiver money to. So I ended up getting him. I didn't think I was going to get him. But Dolphins in at three. Two, it's the San Francisco 49ers. And then at one, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. So some may say, oh, Zach, why did you put the Eagles one and the 49ers two? I look at the Eagles. We've reached a point where it's not are they going to win the game. It's by how many points are they going to win the game. And I know the 49ers are a loaded football team, and they're a great football team. They go in Philadelphia and get a victory. Yes, that Rams game, you know, no one crushed them for that being close like people did with Philadelphia up against the Vikings. Same differential, 7 points. I know that the 49ers blew out the Steelers, but the Steelers have been inconsistent up and down through the first three games of the season. And, yeah, they beat the Giants. But I look at Philadelphia. It's now reached the point where, oh, you only beat the Pats by 5 after going up 16-0. Oh, you only beat the Vikings by 7 when that game was over after the third quarter. And I loved what I saw from the defense with a new defensive coordinator up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think it's because of the standard of the Eagles. I believe they were a better team before the start of the season. And now it's, oh, they're not winning with enough style points for people. I think that's a bunch of bull crap. So it's splitting hairs, but I go Eagles 1, 49ers 2, Dolphins 3, Chiefs 4, Bills 5. Hot take, Hickey, speak now or forever hold your peace.
A lot of 2-1 teams on the outside looking. And what about the Dallas Cowboys? A team this time last week was christened by many across this nation as the best team in football. Why are they not in the top 5?
You know they lost to the Arizona Cardinals.
The scrappy Arizona
They
Cardinals.
Lost to Mr. Beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, 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 beep, boop. That's who they lost to. They lost to a guy that makes noises the same way that I make noises when I interact with my niece via FaceTime. They lost to a guy that makes the noises of beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop. That's who the Cowboys lost to. Just when the Cowboys started to make some believe. The drama, Dallas, choking, Cowboys, pop up. And you know what's funny? Cowboys fans, I always say this, are like cockroaches. Whenever they're winning, they're there. But then once the exterminator comes, all of a sudden those cockroaches go away. And the phone number's here. You know, maybe there could be a few that survive. But we never hear from the Cowboy fan when they lose at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Funny how that works. Last week, coming off week 2, he had like 3-4 Cowboys calls right out of the gate. Ah, them Cowboys! This week, nothing. And you know what I'm starting to get concerned about? What about Scott in California? Viking fan. He called us every week last year. Nothing from him. Jay in Alaska, big time Raiders fan. Every week. Scott called us before the start of the season. We haven't heard from Jay in a while. I'm starting to get concerned when those guys don't call in, especially with how religiously they called in for the last several years about the Vikings and the Raiders. I think the Vikings and Raiders have both broke those guys, and they just probably don't even give a rat's ass anymore.
About time for both of them is what I'll say. They've given a lot of heartache over the years. How about, speaking of scrappy, a team that went on the road this past week with a backup quarterback, a backup running back, and a backup center, and beat the previously undefeated Baltimore Ravens team. The Indianapolis Colts are 2-1. Why are they not in the Zach Gallup top 5?
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
How many wins are the Colts getting this year?
I think 8 wins. 8?
Oh, you are such a homer. It's amazing.
How? Look at the schedule. They're right now favorites at home against the Rams. I'm not even going to pick them.
Before
the
year, I'll never buy into this Colts team this year. They stink. They're horrible. And I told everyone, Colts will win a game or two early, then Hickey will start predicting that they're going to win 8 or 9 games. And that's
Shane
where we're Sacken at right
is legit.
Now.
What can I say?
Give me a break.
Look at that schedule. Look at that schedule.
Okay. Who are the teams that they are definitely guaranteed to beat? Rams, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Cleveland. And that's in Jacksonville. Cleveland, okay, well, New Orleans.
They just got smoked by 20 of the Texans.
Carolina.
Stinks.
All right, there's one. Patriots.
Not good.
You're not a lock to beat the Pats.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, Tennessee again, Cincinnati, the Steelers, the Falcons, the Raiders.
There's one game and the rest of the season where they absolutely will not win. It's the Bengals. Every other game's toss-up.
Okay. And Jonathan Taylor still doesn't want to play for that team.
Well, he'll be back next week.
If he shows up.
Well, he kind of has to show up. Unfortunately for him.
No, but if he plays. You never know. Well, that back started to hurt again.
Oh, I'm taking money out of his pocket.
I stubbed my toe. Come on, the Colts. All right, let me ask you this way. So to put the Colts in, I have to take out one team. That's the fifth team. You think the Colts are a better team than the Bills?
I'm asking this for you.
I'm asking you. You're asking the Colts. Do you think the Colts are a better team than the Bills?
I don't think they're a top five team. No, I don't. But okay. I'm asking. They're I think, in the conversation.
Stop in the conversation.
I'm doing my job. I'm asking about teams that are on the outside looking in.
If you weren't a Colts fan, you would never even ask about the Colts.
Well, I was going to bring up the Ravens, but the Ravens were 2-0 and lost to the Colts, so wouldn't you, you know,
pick the team? Next team.
What about the Lions?
No. And the reason why is I know that they beat Kansas City week one and they beat Atlanta 20-6. But the way they lost that Seattle game at home with a point to prove against a team that they're pretty even with, and I know they're only up by a touchdown at halftime, but they still didn't find a way to close that game. I got to see more from the Lions before I shoot them up the leaderboard into the top five. I got to see some consistency out of the Detroit Lions because they don't get the benefit of the doubt because they haven't proved anything, you know, over the last few years. All right, is that it?
That is it.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you didn't ask about the Arizona Cardinals. College football. In at number five, my top five did not change from last week. It's Texas 5, Washington 4. I think Washington is the best team in the Pac-12. Florida State, they beat Clemson. Now they beat Clemson and LSU. Michigan has not been tested yet. We know the Michigan season really doesn't start until they play Penn State. And then Georgia as well. Similar story. I know they got a little bit tested by South Carolina. But you look at that schedule for Georgia, it's cupcake U for most of the way. So I go Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Florida State 3, Washington 4, Texas 5.
Wow, no Ohio State top 10 win on the road, huh?
No. I was more impressed. Or I was more disappointed with Notre Dame than I was impressed with Ohio State. Yeah, the Notre Dame player dropping the ball. That should have been picked off with McCord. Notre Dame threw up all over themselves in that first half. They should have been up by 2 touchdowns. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Marcus Freeman couldn't get 11 guys on the field. I'm not popping champagne. I didn't have Ohio State in the top 5 before this. I'm not putting them in after that game up against Notre Dame. Texas has better wins when you look at them beating Alabama and the way they played up against Alabama compared to the way that Ohio State played up against Notre Dame. Texas was more impressive against Alabama than Ohio State was up against Notre Dame.
What about the Oregon Ducks, who took Deion Sanders in Colorado to the woodshed on Saturday?
So I've never done a tie in the top five. I almost tied Texas and Oregon. Oregon dominated, controlled, as you would say, destroyed the Colorado Buffaloes. And they have a good win up against Texas Tech earlier in the season. But for me, I look at Washington and Washington State and Utah back-to-back-to-back weeks. You beat Washington, then you jump Washington. And then if you follow it up with another win against either of those two teams, you'll deserve a spot in the top five. They're lurking. They were 6 for me this week, but not ready to catapult into the top five yet. I was really close to tying them with Texas, though.
And speaking of the Pac-12, what about the Trojans of USC?
I'll tell you. I know you were picking the Trojans before the start of the year, and you were like, oh, I like what they did up against Nevada and Stanford defensively. They were terrible defensively up against Arizona State. That game was too close for comfort when they're a 1-3 football team now. You know, yeah, you get the win, but that game was sitting there at one point 24-21 in the third quarter. That USC defense. And USC almost won the Pac-12 last year. And I know you're right, Caleb Williams gets hurt. And Utah goes on to win back-to-back Pac-12 championships. But that defense is going to come up to bite them in the you-know-what. And I like Washington and I like Oregon better than USC. I think they're a more complete team. And their quarterbacks are also Heisman Trophy candidates there. And Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. So I don't put USC in front of Oregon. Oregon's not in my top 5, even though they were 6. So therefore, that's why I don't put USC there.
Okie dokie.
What did you smile there so much about?
This is actually very funny. I've never seen this before. So
this has nothing to do with Take 5?
This has nothing to do with Take 5.
I thought it was something I said there for a second.
No, I apologize.
I thought I made sense there. I thought it was logical.
This is truly James Franklin at his peak, but you'd appreciate this.
Hold on. Before you give me that, just real quickly, let me just say Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington, Texas, top 5 for college football, NFL, Eagles, 49ers, Dolphins, Chiefs, Bills. Set this up for me. Can I guess, is this something that James Franklin tweeted?
No, nothing to do with social media.
Okay.
This is...
They play Northwestern this week.
Has all to do with Northwestern.
Ugh.
So they're playing at Ryan Field noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local kick. Northwestern and atmospheres for college football, not exactly one of the best, we'll just say, put it lightly.
No, yeah.
So what did James Franklin do at practice today that I've never seen before? End of practice, to get them ready for the atmosphere at Ryan Field, turn the music off. Dead silence. It is silent at practice, and he said they have to be honest about the atmosphere, and they have to be an internally motivated team.
Is that a real tweet?
That is a real tweet.
Can you? I gotta verify that. You're also the same guy that gave me the AI voice of Brian Ferentz.
This is from Audrey Snyder, who is a very well-respected reporter for The Athletic, who covers Penn State on the Daily Beat, reporting that Penn State to get ready for the raucous atmosphere at Ryan Field at Northwestern at 11 a.m. on Saturday, practiced in silence.
Now, don't get mad at me. I do think that Penn State is going to be better than Ohio State. I don't think they're going to be better than Michigan. I didn't love the way that they started against either Illinois or Iowa. You do that against this pathetic Northwestern team, you better win this game 70-0. Like, you better win where it's just a blowout from the start. And Northwestern beat Minnesota last week, so give them credit, but this Northwestern team is a joke of a program right now. You better beat them 70-0. This Penn State schedule. Oof. Northwestern, UMass. All right, then you play Ohio State. Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State. It's kind of nice to only have two college football games this season for your program this year.
Penn State, Michigan, like, yeah, a lot of teams are like that. It's sad. I'm not happy about it. Don't get me wrong. Just the way it breaks with the Big Ten not being as deep as it normally is, stinks.
Yeah. That's a brutal schedule. Like, and it's actually impressive how you get actually jacked up for these games, like Iowa and Illinois, and you find a way in your cult to kind of talk yourself up that this is actually an important game.
There's 12 Saturdays. Hopefully for Penn State, 15 Saturdays, but it's a finite amount of games. Of course, it's a whiteout game on CBS. Of course I'm going to get jacked up.
In the regular season for Penn State this year, you have two games that you'll ever break a sweat for this year.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that's the case.
Oh, stop.
Doesn't lessen the intensity. I'm a fan. What do you want me to do?
Please.
Sleep through the Northwestern game? Absolutely not.
You wake up with nerves in your system for Delaware?
No nerves.
Okay.
I'm not nervous going through Northwestern.
You wake up, you're like, oh, it's game day. Let's go, State. Yeah.
Am I going to wake up after like 3 hours of sleep on Saturday morning racing to the TV and need no coffee to get excited? Absolutely not. I'm going to need coffee. I need a little boost here for this game, but doesn't mean I still can't get excited to watch.
You know what? Sleep in. Sleep in on
Saturday. I will not sleep in.
You could set the alarm to 1 o'clock. You could miss the game. You could be sleeping like how how they're preparing for basically no fans in the stands. You don't need your support behind Penn State this weekend. Brian McFadden joins us next. Zach Helps Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line. Welcome in a former Pittsburgh Steelers, played his college ball at Florida State. Two-time Super Bowl champion, does a great job as an analyst for CBS Sports, and that is our pal Bryant McFadden. B-Mac, how you been?
What's happening, Zach? I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. What is this like for you to see your cousin Patrick Peterson play for your team in the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Man, it's been a surreal moment. The entire process with him signing up to where we are now in the season, you know, just finishing the third ball game. It's been a surreal moment for me, and the same can be said for him as well, because he's been hearing so much about Pittsburgh, the Steeler culture, the Steeler way throughout his time when he was back in high school, when I was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he oftentimes say that he was a Pittsburgh Steeler well before becoming one officially. So we've just been enjoying the ride, man, and hopefully this thing can continue to be an exciting opportunity for all parties involved with them winning ball games and, you know, trying to find a way to get into the playoffs.
This is expected to be a big year for Kenny Pickett. Through three games, what have you seen, and where's your confidence level with number eight?
Well, the first two games, I got to keep it real, Zach. Didn't really see a lot from Kenny Pickett. The same can be said for the entire offense. And we kind of started this. We saw a rhythm established against the Raiders this past Sunday night on that Sunday night opportunity. So hopefully, we can see more of what we saw against the Raiders throughout the rest of the way. I think the expectations were not super high, But people were very, very optimistic about what Kenny could do because he looked so good in the preseason. And then the first ball game against San Francisco looked the total opposite. The same could be said in week two as well against Cleveland. But they found a way to win that ball game. So hopefully Kenny Pickett, man, can continue to establish a sense of a foundational sense there in the offense to generate some positive things similar to what he did against the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, I feel like each and every week someone says that they're the best defensive player in the sport, you know, whether it's been Aaron Donald or T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa. To you, when you watch these games, when we enter week four of the NFL season, who do you have, Brian McFadden, as the best defensive player in the sport right now?
I got to keep it real with you, and this has no bias tied to my answer. I got to go with the guy who's probably the quietest out of everyone you mentioned, in T.J. Watt. I mean, I think he's leading the NFL in sacks right now. Every time there's a big play on the defensive side, he is associated with it. You know, either he's causing the big play or he's the guy who's benefiting from someone else causing the big play, as we saw against the Browns, that big-time fumble in the second half that led to a game-like winning touchdown, and just how consistent he's been. I mean, in 3 weeks of play, man, his numbers clearly speaks for the argument with him, but then when you watch him, 90 is always around the football.
When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, it's such a feel-good story through the first 3 weeks of the season, Brian McFadden, and we all saw the ugliness of this game last year with the concussions. To see what the Dolphins are doing right now, I can't wait for this game Sunday up against the Buffalo Bills. Like, for me, it's the most intriguing game of the weekend, especially with Buffalo now getting back to where they should be, sitting there at 2-1.
Man, right now, watching the Miami Dolphins is like watching, you know, a 10-year-old play Madden against a 70-year-old. Like, the 70-year-old has no idea on what's going on with the video game, can't stop them. The 10-year-old just laughing, having fun, scoring points at the points at the points because they are a video game geek. You know what I mean? They love playing video games. That's what it's looking like, you know, with the method offensively that Josh McDaniels has incorporated with his offense, you know, the motions that they have in place with speed guys getting to the line of scrimmage with a sense of momentum already, incorporating that into the running game. Man, they're having so much fun. And they're doing it in a way we've never seen done before, with so much speed. So, yes, I'm right there with you. You talk about this matchup at 1 o'clock in Buffalo. We know both teams clearly are the two top dogs in the division. Both teams could easily win their division, and both teams could easily get to the Super Bowl. So this is a huge game early in the year that could have big time playoff implications throughout the rest of the way. And get this though, Zach.
Yeah.
The Bills are the favorites. I think they're laying 3.5, right?
So I like the Dolphins.
We just saw Miami put up 70 points, and they're coming to a game as the underdog. Think about that.
Let me also ask you this, as Brian McFadden is here with us. You've been on some great defenses. Now, Miami just put up 70 without Jalen Waddle, which is like a crazy thing to say, 70 points just on its own, but especially without Jalen Waddle. If you were a defensive player, how would you try to attack them to slow them down at this point?
The most important thing defensively against the Miami Dolphins that you need to do, you got to be able to put pressure on Tua with four guys. Like, you have to do that. If you can put pressure on Tua with four guys, you have the ability to drop the other guys into coverage and minimize the throwing windows for Tua when he's targeting Tyreek Hill and some of the other pass catchers. And at some point in time, you got to bring pressure. But if you can generate pressure with four guys, that's one thing. Then also, too, manipulating the coverages on the back end, right? When you talk about it, look at what Tua does. He does a great job in reading and already kind of predetermining where to go with the football based on the coverages the guys in the back end are showing him. So what we used to do a lot when we played against some of the best quarterbacks in the game during my career, when the Peyton Mannings of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world, Drew Brees's, you know, guys like that, we used to show them one thing but play something totally different, because our defensive coordinator at that time, Dick LeBeau, he knew these quarterbacks are too good for you to think you will have success against them showing them your hand. It's no difference than playing poker and showing your opponent your hand and thinking you're going to win. It's not going to happen. So you got to find a way to manipulate his eyes, play with his eyes a little bit, show one thing, and then roll into a different coverage, because he won't have time to make any adjustments or any audibles. And that's what we're not seeing. That's why we're seeing Tua so comfortable. Number one, he's not getting pressured. Number two, he's already predetermining where to go with the football based on what he's seen from the secondary guys.
Brian McFadden here with us. Ravens play the Browns this week, and at the end of the season, how are we talking about Lamar Jackson, and how are we talking about Deshaun Watson?
Ooh. So far, in 3 weeks of play, I think we will be talking about Lamar Jackson and saying this new offense is going to take time. Because people felt like with the additions, the new offense Todd Monken has brought to Baltimore, people feel like this was going to be just flying around scoring points.
Who are you, Jonathan Gannon with those sound effects?
Yeah, you heard me.
Gannon.
Hey, but you people thought it was going to be like, you know, race cars. Everybody's moving around fast. He's throwing the ball around the yard, not really running the ball a lot. And like, oh, it should be entertaining. But keep it real, Zach. We haven't really seen that, right? We haven't really seen that. So I think that would be something that would be associated with Lamar Jackson. Like, oh, you know what? We thought we would see this, but maybe it's going to take some time. And with Deshaun Watson, I think we would probably walk away saying the Deshaun Watson in Houston is not what we're going to see in Cleveland, because this is a different offensive mentality. They run the football first in Cleveland. And what I'm seeing with this team, seeing how dominant their defense is, what they're going to do is play great defense and run the football. That's what they're going to do. And that's going to take away opportunities for Deshaun, something that he had the luxury of having at his disposal when he was there in Houston, throwing the football around the yard, making plays. That's not what they're asking him to do. Play smart football, make plays when need be, but we're going to run and we're going to play good defense.
If you were in the Jets locker room, Brian McFadden, and you had all these Super Bowl aspirations with Aaron Rodgers, now Aaron Rodgers is hurt and everyone knows Zach Wilson isn't the answer, what would your message be this week if you were a leader of the Jets and you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs? Taylor Swift's now going to be in the building at MetLife Stadium per reports. And
We know that for sure, Zach? Is that breaking news? She's going to be in the building for real? Do we know for sure?
That is what I'm seeing on the good old cesspool of Twitter, that there's a lot of reports out there that Taylor Swift is going to be in the building in the swamps of Jersey. I saw that via Jordan Schultz that Taylor Swift will be there. Yeah, you know, what's the message at this point? This isn't going to be a game. This could be a blowout. We all know the Chiefs are going to kill them.
I mean, you can't necessarily say that, because we just saw last week the Arizona Cardinals kick the Dallas Cowboys in the mouth, right? So we can't necessarily say that.
But the Dallas Cowboys aren't the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, but you just never know, right?
There's a reason we call them the drama Dallas choking Cowboys.
Zach, that's the thing you got to love about the NFL. There's no guarantees. There is no guarantees, right? But in regards to your question, it feels like the season is over for New York, but it's not. There's a lot of ball left to be played. And everything that has happened for the Jets that has been wrong so far can instantly be right if you find a way to win Sunday against the Chiefs.
Not instantly. With this quarterback, though. This quarterback can't.
And now that's the thing, because you know when we watch the game, right, Zach, and we see what's going on with Zach Wilson or what's not going on with Zach Wilson, we don't really know who's at fault. We don't really know. That's up to the individuals within the building in the huddle with him. And at some point in time, if quote unquote, this is a hypothetical, if Zach is not doing what he's supposed to be doing and not giving this team the best opportunity to win based on what they're asking him to do, you got to find a way to make a change, because you don't want to waste a year. It seems like if things don't get right and they don't make any changes, they're just wasting a year. And if you're Robert Saleh, can you afford to waste a year? I think it all comes down to what Rodgers says, right?
If Rodgers wants him back at the end of the year, I kind of think that Saleh comes back, right?
Oh, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers really likes Robert Saleh. Clearly, Nathaniel Hackett, clearly, right? So if you want Aaron Rodgers to come back, yeah, that's a great point. I believe Robert Saleh will be there, and Nathaniel Hackett will be there as well.
All right, yeah, I bury the lead here. Last thing with Brian McFadden. How about those Noles, baby?
Yeah. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, man. We're winning the ball games that we're supposed to win, the games that's in front of us. That's all we're doing, man, Zach. That's it.
You were a little nervous week by on week. Saturday. You were nervous.
Oh, no question. I was nervous because I didn't like how things were happening within the ball game that was not necessarily involved in the play. The referees kind of took the ball game away. I really don't like that. Let the kids play ball, right? There were some missed opportunities, missed calls that didn't go in our favor. And I just felt like the referees were kind of being one-sided with how they were officiating the ball game. But at the end of the day, the pros that I talked to you about weeks ago stood up for us and made big-time pro-like plays. And remember, I talked to you when we before the season, I said, man, we're going to do something special this year because we have pros on our team. We have guys that will for sure play on Sunday. And when you have that in college football, along with good coaching and good quarterback play, you're going to win games. This past Saturday, it was easy to see we had more pros than Clemson.
And that all goes back to Dabo Swinney doing the opposite of Mike Norvell, embracing NIL and embracing the transfer portal. Mike Norvell gets it. Dabo Swinney right now in the year of 2023 doesn't get it. And even in a game that he had pretty much won, he projectile vomited in the final 2 minutes. And I loved it because I can't stand the arrogance now of Dabo Swinney.
Hey, well, I know you felt super good. It felt like you were a Florida State node watching Clemson lose to the nose on Saturday. So I know you were jumping for joy.
Did you see my video after the game of the Dabo?
No, you got to send it to me. I didn't see it.
Anyway, Brian McFadden, I appreciate the time as always. Keep on kicking ass with the podcast and also with CBS Sports HQ. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Zach.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank God for Taylor Swift, Hickey, because there is no reason to watch this Sunday night football game unless you are betting on it. That's the only way you'd actually care to entertain this game. But Chiefs and Jets, it's kind of crazy to me. And Taylor Swift's going to be there at MetLife Stadium. So back-to-back game, she's going to be there watching her new boo in Travis Kelce. But isn't it kind of nuts that this spread's only 9.5? Yeah, I know there's never any easy money here in terms of gambling, but how do you not lay the points right now? 9.5 points, the Chiefs going up against the Jets. That seems like it's almost too good to be true.
The only thing is just like, hey, they're not sold that the Chiefs offense is quote unquote fully back yet. And the Bears just are so hapless that it didn't even matter that the first two games against the Lions and the Jaguars, now you got a really good Jets defense that'll keep the game, we'll say, respectable.
Is this, though, a really good Jets defense?
I would say so far, yes.
Like on paper, they are. They got embarrassed up against Dallas. And you look at the game up against New England, yeah, the defense is good, right? But it's like, am I supposed to crown this defense as this phenomenal defense for beating up on, what, Kendrick Bourne and Juju Smith-Schuster? Like, that, I'll tell you this. I'll make it a mission here on the show. When Pharaoh Brown scored that touchdown for 58 yards, I was like, who the heck is that? For the Patriots. They allowed that guy to go 58 yards to the house.
He was on the Colts training camp roster. I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious. He was there. He's like the sixth tight end.
Yeah. One man's trash is another man's gold, I guess.
And you know what? That's probably the reason why the Jets defense just said, this guy's not getting the ball.
When does Taylor Swift stop attending these games? I have the answer, by the way.
You have now, is this like one of those, she's back on tour in like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hard Rock Stadium, Friday, October 8th. Then at Hard Rock from the 18th, excuse me. She's from the 18th to the 20th at Hard Rock Stadium. Then she goes to the Caesar Superdome in Nolens from October 25th to October 27th. Those are all weekends. Then she goes to Lucas Oil Stadium from November 1st, that's a Friday, to Sunday, November 3rd. So I think she's getting in all these games right now. I would imagine, right, she probably goes. Is she going to Minnesota for the Vikings game?
Is that
probably
next week?
Probably not. Yeah, that is next week. That's October 8th.
Is that when her tour starts?
No, 18th.
18th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's
going to Minnesota.
I mean, look, it's kind of like the last chance, right? Once you start touring, I think I'm assuming she's touring until at least the rest of the
new year. No, according to the website I am right now, I don't know if I would assume all the dates are listed, but it stops after November 3rd.
A month? Did she go international?
I don't know, but you would think it'd be listed on her website.
Interesting. All right, so maybe a little. Okay, maybe there's a chance then. She goes back later in the year.
You know what? She does go international.
There you go.
November 9th. And she goes, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a long tour, right?
Wow. No way. She has international dates? Because I guess she hasn't gone on the international leg of this tour yet. She tours. There's dates through November 23rd of 2024 internationally. That's crazy.
She's popular. She's very popular. So you know what? I was going to say something, and I take it back. You know what? Squeeze as many games in as you can now, because it sounds like they will not be, her and Travis will be seeing each other very often for a long time.
And here's, looking ahead, Super Bowl Sunday. What is that this year? Is that the 18th, or is it the week before in the
11th?
Probably
the 11th. Week before, yeah.
Yeah, it's the 11th. She's in Tokyo that Saturday night. Now, she doesn't have anything from in Tokyo that Saturday night. Saturday, February 10th, 2024, and then she's in Australia on February 16th, 2024. What happens if Travis Kelce and the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl and they're still an item? This is only content you get on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How do you miss seeing your boyfriend play in the Super Bowl?
Look, she's traveling luxuriously. I understand that. If she's going to take a flight from Tokyo to Vegas, from Vegas to Australia in the span of, that would be like 5 or 6 days.
Well, I just did a quick, Google search. Tokyo to Las Vegas flight time. What do you think the flight time is?
8 hours.
12 hours and 35 minutes, it says.
Yeah.
Oh, but it says that's a connecting flight. Why would it, when I search Tokyo to Las Vegas flight time, why would they give me a connecting flight? Maybe you have to connect? It got to be a direct flight, right?
For Taylor Swift, it'll be direct.
Yeah.
It should have been a private jet. So let's just say knock off the waiting around. Let's just say 10 hours.
11 hours and 35 minutes.
Okay. From Tokyo to Vegas. And then if they win, you celebrate all night. Probably maybe, I mean, there's no way she can go to the parade, because it's like, what, isn't that like 24 hours to get to Australia?
No, yeah, you don't have to go to the parade. She's Taylor Swift. You don't have to go to the parade.
Well, I mean, if I was Travis Kelce, selfishly, I would want her to be at the parade.
You don't need her at the parade. You are the party there. That's the savage mode of Travis Kelce. You maybe don't want her to see that side of you at the parade. And right now, by the way, in Tokyo, it's Thursday at 9:50 a.m.
Yeah, makes sense. 13 hours ahead.
She's not going to the Super Bowl if he's in it. And also, she's been like above the Super Bowl that she's not going to perform in the halftime show, too. Didn't they announce a halftime show over the weekend? Did I see that right?
If they did, I missed it.
I think it's Usher this year. How about that?
Wow.
Rihanna
was really good last year.
Unless if I was just delusional this weekend.
Are they naming it in parts? Like Usher and then like soon to come three other acts combined?
Right now, page 6, here's the headline. Usher plans to bring pole dancers to the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay, you know what? I take back what I was going to say. Usher, let's go.
Yeah,
man of the people for the Super Bowl.
It's going to be Usher. I was at the Super Bowl last year. I don't even remember.
Rihanna.
Oh, yeah, that's
she
right.
She was tremendous.
Oh, she was tremendous. You're right. That was a great halftime show.
Pregnant, too.
Yeah, talk about
a quiet reveal.
You're right. I lost the bet on the DA show. That's why I had to... I got no help at Bob's Bar parking cars because I didn't get the first song correct, and Pat Boyle did. So Usher is the halftime performance. I don't think Taylor Swift's making it from Japan to Las Vegas. I think she's saying,
well,
Taylor.
We'll see how committed she is.
I think she's saying, Travis, you'll get in the game again next year. Don't you worry. There'll be another big game for Travis Kelce.
Well, who knows? Maybe her tour is going to be continuing through next February. I mean, she's already got dates through next November. Why not continue in the U.S.?
No. Yeah, well, you come back in the U.S., it's different. Inside the U.S., the traveling's a lot easier than going from Japan to Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, you are private. Again, I'm not saying it's easy, and then you go to Australia, so I'm not sitting here telling you can do it. It's
and you are clearly not aware of the whole vocal rest that goes on with these singers.
I'm well aware. Can't talk?
Did you see her over the weekend? She sounded like you watching a game. Let's bleep and go! Can't be screaming at the Super Bowl, so I don't think she's going
go
to the
game
Bowl.
And sit there quietly, maybe a little golf clap or maybe a.
Why are you
big
making sexual
pump?
Noises there between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift?
I'm saying
it's
how you can, if Travis scores a touchdown, a little clap. You don't have to scream.
Okay, I would like to see you go to a Penn State game. and clap that way and not scream and go nuts.
Well, if my job depended on it, different story. I think I could contain myself.
No, you couldn't. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard.
Yes. Penn State upsets Michigan.
You even know you're full of, you know what? You're full of bull junk.
That's all I would say.
That's what you are.
Save my voice for the big radio show, the big performance if I'm Taylor Swift the next week.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll update you with some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. We will get into that on the other side. You'll hear from Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the man of the hour himself, Travis Kelce, sprinkling a little Jerry Jones and Charles Barkley as well. And also, Lou Holtz firing back at Ryan Day. I was watching that clip of me saying that Ryan Day should be banned from all senior citizen homes and also from early bird specials. And I was surprised that you thought I was sarcastic yesterday. That was a serious take that I give you. I only give you serious takes. I'm a professional broadcaster right here. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS.